You've heard the word of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 to 11. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. In the greeting of the Lord's Apostle Paul, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear Christian friends, they were such a talented congregation and so unspiritual and immature. From the very start, the Lord's holy apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit to know just what they needed to hear in Corinth, addressed them as the church of God in Corinth. To those sanctified, that means made holy, set apart for God in Christ Jesus, called to be holy, and then us with them, together with all those everywhere who call on the name, the reputation of our Lord Jesus Christ, their God and ours, to you, God's grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. From the very beginning of this letter, the Lord's holy apostle is speaking about spiritual gifts. He says, for in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because of our testimony, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you, and he's speaking to you at New Life as well, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. And then come 11 chapters of assessment calling for some serious adjustment. We are not the first congregation to go through the SAA, self-adjustment and assessment. Corinthians, all divided in the church, following different personalities. Corinthians stuck on the foolish wisdom and strength of people when they ought to be focused on the wisdom and power of God. They're all divided in the church, following people, and yet they dishonor the very apostles that the Lord sent. And Paul has to call them on that too. Like the church of Pergamum and the pastor responsible for that in Revelation that we heard today, they're tolerating false teaching, and it's bringing about false practice such as gross immorality in the congregation that won't deal with it. And the Lord has to call them to excommunicate an openly sinful member. There are lawsuits in civil court among the church members. They are messed up by sexual immorality, which means they also have gross misunderstandings about marriage that have to be corrected. The meat in the marketplace, sacrifice to idols, or eating that meat in the temples where the idols are worshipped. All messed up on the rites of the apostles, failing to take warning from Israel's history, falling into temptation about idol feasts and the Lord's Supper, misusing freedom as if it's a license for immorality. They don't get God's roles for men and women. And when it comes to Lord's Supper, the holy apostle tells them their meetings do more harm than good. Now that's an assessment that calls for adjustment. It was pointed out to me one time that because of that, you could very well translate the first verse of our text, 1 Corinthians 12:1, now about spiritual people. Not just gifts, but people. Both would be a valid translation. Brothers, I don't want you to be ignorant. Ignorant in the biblical sense doesn't mean stupid, These were very intelligent, talented people. But it can sometimes just mean uninformed. We need to learn. This is something that I believe as a pastor is very important for us as called workers, leaders in the church, every member of Christ's church, to take assessment day by day, week by week. It's why we come and confess all of our sins. The assessment's not good until we hear what God calls us in Christ: forgiven, righteous and holy in my sight. Now there's an assessment too, all in grace. It's what that wicked King David, the adulterer and murderer, could plead with God in Psalm 51. And it's my constant prayer, yours too: create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. He wants to empty me of myself. He wants to empty us so that he can fill us with the dear Holy Spirit who comes with all these gifts. We have a bright, shining epiphany spotlight on spiritual gifts and spiritual people, and the Lord wants to make sure all the circuits are wired and all the watts are working so that in your life, today, tomorrow, and always, you shine brightly Christ into the people around you. Before he gets to that, he's got to dial it back and tell us what it was like for us when it came to our receiving Christ by faith. We're looking at Christianity in America today and seeing in the mirror of what we're like by nature this constant desire to take credit for something. It's work righteousness, plain and simple. But there's always something for which we want to say, well, I'm different. Or, the old Adam, to reach back with that long arm and keep patting you on the back, the arm that never gets sore, patting you on the... I couldn't stay like this very long, but that's my old Adam. He wants to take credit, at least, in how I came to faith. At least in some decision for Christ, yes? No. The Holy Spirit won't even allow that. He says through the Lord's Apostle Paul, don't be ignorant, don't be uninformed. Look at the way you were. When you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. And you say, wait a minute, I was born into a Christian family, baptized as an infant, how dare you call me a pagan? And the Lord's holy apostle says, wait a minute. Ephesians 2. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. You, God's people, were dead in your transgressions and sins. We didn't worship the true God by nature. We worshiped ourselves and whatever idols we could make in our mind. We were no different than the pagans by nature. And that's why he says, no one speaking by the Spirit of God can curse Jesus Christ, like persecution was demanding of Christians in those days and today. Wasn't that the question of the gunman in Roseburg? My home state, are you a Christian? You say yes, you die. You say no, you just get shot in the leg or something like that. I guess that's mercy. Do you confess? It's a good article in Forward in Christ about that. What would you do in that situation? If you haven't read that yet, read it. Quite eye-opening when you stop and think, what do I say when someone literally has a gun to my head? You can't speak by the Spirit and curse Jesus, but then again, the flip side is, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The Lord is putting an arm across your shoulders, saying, look, you can't even take credit for some decision for Christ. You didn't look for God. No one can seek God. You can't desire what God wants when you're dead in your transgressions and sins. You got to give glory to God here too. Philippians 2:13, it's God who makes you, works in you both to will and to do of God's good pleasure. Even the desire to believe is proof that God's got your attention. He's turned you around from a sinner running away from God, converted, turned around, and called back to God in humble faith. Let him work in you to do what pleases him. And you know what? There is so much comfort in that. This is so helpful and such a relief to know that this was God's idea to love you by name from all eternity. That, by the way, is the doctrine of election, also comforting. He chose you by name from all eternity. If it was any part of us in the decision or the desire, what if it wasn't good enough? How could I ever be confident that I'm going to heaven, that I have God on my side here, if I had to worry about something in me? No, it's the Holy Spirit. Give glory to God, what great things God has done. You say Jesus is Lord, my Lord and my Savior, by the Holy Spirit and only by him, and you are receiving Christ by faith then, and there are blessings that come with that. You remember that line? Of course you do. You say this every day, right? Multiple times during the day. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. By the power of the Holy Spirit in word and sacrament, word-powered water on your head as a baby or an adult, anointed by the Holy Spirit and power in your baptism too, given this gift of faith, when the Holy Spirit keeps on coming through that word and sacrament, he doesn't come empty-handed. You're receiving Christ by faith, and the Holy Spirit, which can't be seen, can you see this? I made sure I did not spit when I did that. Watch again. The dry breath can't be seen. You can hear it. That's the Hebrew word for his breath or spirit. That's ruach. Or pneuma in the New Testament, the holy. We don't translate holy wind because the Bible says this is the third person of the Trinity. But the Holy Spirit can't be seen by human eyes and so manifests or shows himself in awesome and wonderful ways. There are different kinds of gifts, same Spirit. Different kinds of service, same Lord. Different kinds of working, same God who works all of them in all. Doesn't say men in the original text. Doesn't even say people in the original text. Just says works all of them in all. Which got me to wondering, is this talking about unbelievers too? Does God work gifts in unbelievers too? Psalm 104, is it verse 30, says the Holy Spirit of God gives life to all. Jesus says the Spirit gives life. We can give all credit and glory to God for all the gifts that are given by God the Holy Spirit, including the breath that we breathe. I was a little, confused when our cake lady for our wedding said something about her cakes being anointed by the Holy Spirit, and that somehow these were, this sounded strange to me, and I went into the Bible and ran across in Exodus where it says that the Holy Spirit taught Bezalel and Aholiab how to build the tabernacle in the desert and how to teach other people. There's something in there. My cake lady maybe knew that, maybe not. But the problem with people by nature dead in transgressions and sins is they can't see where it comes from. The old hand is, this is me. I'm awesome. This is what we teach our kids now. You're awesome. We got to teach them all this self-esteem without God. Raise them in the human conceit and tell them that's okay. And God is appalled. And so is society as we see these things come to fruit. But God tells us that the Holy Spirit gives gifts to all. It's just that, as the Apostle Paul says in another place, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. They're content with biological life, which is no better than animals. Jesus says, I have come to give you life that you can have it to the full. And he uses a different word for life, that this is elevated life, that's real life. Knowing the God who created you and then redeemed you and now sanctifies you by word and sacrament, that's real life. And that's where you know how to praise the Holy Spirit who gives you gifts. Don't miss this, my dear friends, especially if you're new to the Bible. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Now he's speaking specifically about each one who believes in Jesus as Lord and Savior, washed in that word-powered water, receiving that body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins, washed clean, cleansed, made righteous by God, sanctified, and each one has at least one gift. And it's in those spiritual gifts for people that the Lord is making spiritual as you grow in your sanctification. That's how the Holy Spirit shows himself, because you can't see the wind. But the Spirit among us, very obvious. And he goes through this list of gifts, which we'll focus on here in 1 Corinthians 12. There's another gift in Romans 12. You could go to whole Bible studies on each one of these gifts. Just real quickly, a sentence or two about the gifts the Holy Spirit brings. Message of wisdom. Knowing what to do with the facts. Applying them to real life situations in practical, helpful ways. Wisdom from God. The Holy Spirit gives to another message of knowledge. How do you remember that stuff? I remember my professor sophomore year in high school going on with that history and the Bible and putting that together and the professors that could do that. You know what? Whom the Lord calls, he equips. He still gives the blessing of knowledge, the gift of knowledge. Same Spirit to another, the gift of faith. Stop and think about this one. Doesn't everybody have faith, Pastor, that's a Christian? Don't you have to have faith to be a Christian? Yes. There is this special confidence in the midst of difficult times, very undaunted, and can stand firm and solid without giving up. Raise your hand if you were alive September 11th, 2001. One, raise your hand, if you were alive in 2001, okay? I'm just checking. Okay, how many of you remember 9/11? Okay, because some of you were really pretty little. What struck me that day when it comes to this gift of faith is how little and immature I was. This is what happens. We grow in different ways, and God lets us see in our fellow Christians gifts that we need to imitate. I remember driving back from a pastor's conference that had to be canceled because of that and thinking, how am I going to encourage God's people when I'm so stirred up myself? And going on the Wells website and reading the prayers that were circulated at that time of God-fearing people that I don't know till I get to heaven. Thanking God for his mercy, confident of his grace, manifesting the Holy Spirit among us with this gift of faith. It's not pasted on smiles. It's not, you know, everything's going to work out. It's God is in charge. He will bring us through this. He will work blessings from this. That's this special gift of faith, this unblemished, unshaken confidence in God's goodness even in the heart of the problems. Faith. Another gift of the Holy Spirit. Healing, miraculous powers, they didn't get done just in the days of the apostles. Especially new Christians coming out of false religions today where they're in danger because they become Christians. You will hear about events that it can only be explained as a miracle of God, and sometimes God uses a particular Christian to bring that about. Those gifts are still there. When needed, God gives them. Gift of prophecy is the gift of preaching. Distinguishing between the spirits is being able to go back to the presuppositions that drive the false prophets, see what's behind their false doctrine. What is messing them up in that? Another different kinds of languages, the interpretation of languages, glossolalia is the literal translation, tongues. But I'm convinced on the pages of Scripture he's talking about other languages. And I've told you how in 2012 I got to go to Hong Kong, where Asians from all over, especially Southeast Asia, but the rest too, 60 of them, all different languages, somehow able to converse in English so that we could study God's Word together, and then they could go back to their home countries and in their heart language interpret and share the grace of God in Christ to the people who they understand and in their culture. Great gift. The gift of language is still with us. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. What is your gift? Or do I have to say gifts? He's not stingy. He does not bless with an eyedropper. He also does not bring a fire hose and tell you to drink out of it. You can't always tell, what are my gifts? What are they? There are workshops that we could do, Bible studies to discover those gifts. You can go through questionnaires and so forth. I really believe the most practical, useful way to find out what your gifts are is see where you're interested in things. Maybe a fellow Christian comes and asks you to help with something. They've obviously noticed something in you. Run with it. See what happens. If it proves to be something that feels totally natural to you, and especially when your fellow Christians say, you know what, you got to keep doing that. This is what they keep telling us about recruiting future pastors and teachers. Practically all of us who finally receive a call into the public ministry had somebody along the way saying, you've got the gifts. Use them for the Lord. And you might be told, you've got a gift in this area, use it. So years ago, I've told this story many times, I love to tell it. A new confirmand was asked by the congregation to serve as a stewardship director and recruit people for different jobs. I don't know if it was a few months or a couple years, but he came back to me and said, Pastor, I just don't think this is my gift. And you keep saying every Christian has at least one gift. I don't know what my gift is. I said, you don't? He says, you do? I said, yes. Every time I or someone else talk to you, they walk away feeling better. You have the gift that's in Romans chapter 12. It's called the gift of encouragement. A rare gift, a wonderful gift, to be able to lift people up in kindness and love. Maybe it's not organizing, getting volunteers, but encouragement? Brother Dave served how many years as an elder? How many? 20. And I love to take Dave with me, if you know Dave as a jovial brother. I love to take Dave on calls where I walk up to the house. I just remember one so vividly over here in Badness Heights. They see the pastor walk up. If they still recognize me with lighter hair, you know, they're thinking they're in trouble. They see Dave walk up, they think it's a party. There were times when conversations could continue that needed to be dealt with, because Dave was there, just kind of evening things out a little bit or taking someone off to the side so the pastor could talk with somebody. And things came to light that needed to be. The blessing, the gift of encouragement. The joy I have as a pastor to see God's people, especially those of you who come to this party kind of late maybe. You didn't grow up with all this, but you think, what are my gifts? And I get to tell you, because I see one and many in so many. I get the privilege, it's one of the perks of my ministry that I love, watching God's people grow in confidence and power as you're in the Word, you're with the sacrament, you're remembering your baptism, and the dear Holy Spirit keeps on bringing these gifts. We're assessing. We need to make adjustments. But in this, we have the confidence to stick close to the Holy Spirit and have this one last encouragement. Paul, in verse 1 of chapter 14, he says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gifts that build up Christ's church. And then, my dear friends, together, to God be the glory. Amen.